Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kerner Holding H1 Fiscal Year 2018 Results Conference Call. I will now hand over to Marcin Nowak from IPOPEMA Securities. Sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Marcin Nowak from IPOPEMA Securities. I'm happy to welcome you on the Kerner Holding second quarter of fiscal year 2018 conference call. I would like to apologize for all the technical problems we had today and all the inconveniences. We will start with the speech by Kerner's management, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I have the pleasure to introduce our speakers, Mr. Andrzej Wajewski, the Chairman of the Board, Ms. Anastasia Usacowa, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Jurij Kowalczuk, the Corporate Investment Director. Now I would like to give the floor to the management.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being patient, and I also would like to apologize for this inconvenience. Today, we present to you the Kerner financial results for the three months ended in December 31st, 2017, which is the second quarter for our financial year 2018. Company's revenue over reporting period stood at 536 million. EBITDA declined to 77 million, and net profit total was 67 million. As we prior communicated already, the market environment this season remained challenging for us, and unfortunately, we don't expect any major positive surprise until the beginning of new harvesting campaign. Along with that, we also believe that the most of the setbacks we face this year has already been materialized, and future deterioration of the market condition this season is very limited. I would like to take you through our segments as usual. First, the sunflower seed oil business. Margin in our sunflower seed oil business remains weak. In the second quarter, we had $65 per ton of sunflower seed oil, down 25% year-to-year. However, it's a better level compared to the previous quarters. Volume-wise, we are pretty satisfied with our performance with this quarter. We were running our facility at the full capacity utilization to meet our target to crush total 3.2 million tons of sun seeds in full financial year 2018. Sunflower seed oil volume for the export is partially moved towards third and fourth quarter, and wherefore we reported 21% year-to-year decline in sales volume in second quarter, accumulating pre-sold sunflower seed oil stock for shipment in coming months. Overall, our EBITDA for the sunflower seed oil business in the second quarter declined to 21 million, down 41% year-to-year. Our guidance for the current financial year remains unchanged. We aim to crush 3.2 million tons for sunflower seeds with the average full-year margin over $50 per ton of sunflower seed oil. At the same time, we see improvement of crushing business fundamentals for the next year. As we speak, the competitive environment is changing. Small players are not so active already, and we expect some of them suspend operation in the second half of the season when the sunflower seeds availability shrinks. On the supply side, we're planting acreages under sunflower seeds is anticipating to increase next year. Bad weather conditions last year decreased production yields for corn and soybeans, and many farmers typically tend to replace those crops for sunflower seeds, which is considered to be less sensitive to the drought and more profitable. Also, we see that farmers in Western Ukraine are planning to increase the percentages of acreages under the sunflower seeds, bringing it closer to the level which we see in central of Ukraine. Grain and infrastructure division. Overall delivered a strong quarter EBITDA of 48 million. While grain trading and transshipment operation were less profitable comparing to the same period of last year, our silos segment demonstrated the outstanding performance as upgraded asset base following recent acquisition benefit from the high demand of the value-added drying service. As we discussed already, our farming division performance in the first half of the financial year was negatively affected by dry weather conditions in summer 2017, following by affected crop yields taking a toll on financial performance. As a result, our farming EBITDA in the first half of financial year 2018 stood at 35 million, down 66% year-to-year. As of today, we maintain full-year guidance of $85 million of the farming EBITDA. Integration of newly acquired land bank is progressing as planned, with over 600,000 hectares under long-term lease contracts. Currently, we plan to divest some suboptimal acreages, retain around 560,000 hectares for our operation. Winter crop sowing campaign was completed and successful. Current state of winter crop is good, as weather conditions in the late autumn and winter were close to optimal. So overall, to summarize, we currently guide our consolidated EBITDA for the full financial year 18 at the level of $214 million. Despite the temporary slowdown in our performance this year, we remain optimistic about the midterm perspectives for Kernel. The execution of the Strategy 2021 is on the way, with the first stage of our new grain terminal to be commissioned in the autumn of 18. Along the way, we continue the expansion and upgrade of our silos network. We launch preparatory works for development of a crushing plant in western Ukraine, and we expect kickoff construction phase in the summer 2018. As well, one of the important points, especially for our farming operation, is that the sentiment of the world soft commodity market has changed into the positive direction. We see prices improve across the board. Wheat, soya, corn looking higher for the next harvest. We hope that the bull trend will continue, which will substantially help our financial performance for the next year. This is pretty much what I would like to say, and we are happy for your questions. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Please lift your handset before you ask your question. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question comes from Mr. Ferrara, Banco Finantia. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. My first question would be on the capital changes. When do you see a reversal of the negative capital changes? When do you think they will be positive? Will be able to release more inventory into the markets?
Anastasia, maybe you will comment on that.
Sure, Andrei. This is Anastasia Osacheva. As always, we have a negative working capital result during the first and second quarter because we built our inventories, and we have the reverse effect in the third and fourth quarter of our financial year. Positive info already, but majority of the positive result you will see in the fourth quarter.
Towards the end of the year, financial year.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your feedback. I have an additional question. What do you think this recent increase in net leverage will impact on your credit standing?
Thank you for your question. We don't think that our target of the internal target for the company is about 2.5 net debt to EBITDA. We believe that we're not going to cross it, and I don't think we're going to go really much leverage than that. Of course, we are at the moment today that we have obviously not the best financial performance currently, and at the same time we have the pretty big program of the investments as well. So we might be close to the level of 2.5 net debt to EBITDA. But I'm pretty much sure that we should normally improve our financial performance for the next financial year, and we will come down with the leverage below 2. So I don't think we're going to stay leveraged for the long or even cross our limit and target of the leverage.
Okay, thank you for your answer. I have just one additional question. Will your recent weaker results affect your dividend policy for the future year?
Say again, please.
Will your recent weaker results affect your dividend policy for this full year?
No, it will not. We already approved dividend payments for the current financial year, and for the last financial year. And once we're talking about financial year 18, we also plan to stay with the same level of the dividend amount. So it's not going to be any changes.
Okay, thank you for your feedback. I have no more questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Stella Cridge, Barclays. Madam, please go ahead.
Hi there, good afternoon. Many thanks for the presentation. And thanks also for giving us the updated guidance or the guidance on the farming segment. So you mentioned it was going to be 85 million and you generated 35 million in the first half of the year, which implies 50 for the second half. I just wondered if you could explain some of the factors behind that. Is that to do with volumes, for example, in terms of distribution between the halves, or would there be any other major reasons for that? My second question is actually just a follow-up on the working capital. So in terms of the outflow that you've already seen in the first half of the year, do you expect that to be fully reversed in the second half? That would be great. Thanks.
Anastasia, maybe you will in more detail explain this shift from one to the second half of the financial year farming and also the working capital, please.
I will start with the farming business. You're absolutely right. The allocation of the financial result of our farming business depends on the quantity delivered to the final buyers. How we deliver the products produced by our farming division to the final buyers. And this year, majority of our own production will be delivered to the third parties during the second half of our financial year. So there is a direct correlation between volume sold to the final buyers and our financial results from farming division. For the second question, working capital. We built up our inventory some flour, some seed and also grain during the first half of the year, and we decrease our inventories during the second of the financial year. We will not reverse the whole amount during the third quarter. It will be distributed between third and fourth quarter. I would also comment on the financial covenants. Majority of them are tested as of 30th of June, which is end of our financial year, when we have a minimum level for debt and positive working capital, inflow from working capital.
That's super. So I understand what you're saying about the reverse of working capital coming in Q3 and Q4. But just for the avoidance of doubt, so you had this, I think, $200 million outflow in the first half. Do you think this will be roughly equal to a $200 million reversal in the second half?
Again, it depends on the level of the commodity prices by the end of the financial year and level of inventories we have as of 30th of June. If you have more or less the same level, you will see the same level of inflow in the second half of the financial year. If for some reasons we will have higher or lower level of inventories, then the amount might change slightly.
Okay, that's super. And if I could also ask maybe on the sunflower margin side, so I know this is a topic that comes up every call, but just to understand in a little bit more detail, you know, what was the main reasons that the margin improved in the second quarter, and what are the reasons that you expect this average to be 50 for the rest of the year? That would be great.
So the main reason is the margin improve, obviously, that was the really low margins came into the first quarter, coming from the previous season. So the average down for the first quarter was really low because of, once again, the mixed margins between last season and this season. And as of today, 50, that's what we forecast, the average margin going forward in the third and the fourth quarter. We believe that's a very good chance we're going to deliver the margin over $50 per ton towards the end of the financial year.
Fantastic. Many thanks.
Our next question comes from Nikolai Kovalev, VTB. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I got the logic behind the decline in volumes for bulk oil as you are transferring to export operations in the second half. But can you speak a bit more about the decline in volumes for grain sales? And also, as a question, what will be your annual expectations for volumes in grain trading? And also, the first stage that you discussed just recently for the new port, how much of incremental volumes can you transship? On the first stage, I mean.
Yeah, so first of all, we believe that the whole year we're going to finish just below the 4 million tons of the total grain export. And we can see that the decline of the grain trading and grain export just because of, as well, the Russia, as you probably know, we gave the terminal in Russia for the throughput. Pretty much financially it doesn't affect us, but it's but we get this fees payment, which is equal more or less the margins which we are generating in Russia on the grain trading, but without any trading pretty much. So that's what you can see in the financial. Financial results are pretty much the same, but the volume went down. And in terms of that's the explanation. In terms of the volume, which we expect once we fully commission the transgrain terminal, we expect up to 4 million ton new volume added to our capacity. Because that's
pretty much
dissimilar to the existing one.
Mm-hmm. Just for us to understand, when you mentioned the first stage for the autumn of 2018, how much of volumes can that add?
The first stage will definitely help, but it's not going to be the substantial amount. We would maybe forecast another 700, maybe 800,000 tons additional export from Ukraine compared to this one. But I don't think it's going to be more than that because we would need the fully commission of the all stages to be able to operate with additional 4 million.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our following question comes from Tael Zani, Vaha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have two quick questions. One is on, there were rumors that you're planning for a larger acquisition of more than 30, 50 million. Is it something that you're considering? If yes, when we would see this? Another question is on the farming segment. So you mentioned in the presentation that the margins were reduced due to increase in the cost and due to cancellation of the VAT subsidies. Could you please tell us what was the amount related to these VAT cancellation? Thank you.
Could you please repeat the first question?
Yeah, sure. So we heard the rumors that you're planning for a larger acquisition of more than 30, 50 million. Is it something that you're considering?
30, 50 million?
Yeah. More than 30, 50 million.
Really, not really. This rumor can't be true. So there's nothing what we plan for 30, 50 million at the moment, so nothing special. And in terms of your second question, Anastasia, maybe you can comment on this VAT impact on our farming.
I cannot really comment on the exact amount. Honestly speaking, I don't have it with me, but I can confirm that the main reasons for declining in the results are yield and increase in cost.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Konstantin Fasovets, Adamant Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. Just have a few questions. On the grain trading business, I see that your margins in the second quarter are up considerably from the first quarter. Could you talk a bit about that dynamic? I see that you had a similar thing happening in the previous year, but just wanted to understand a bit more. And also, can you tell us where in the financial statements we can find the payment from Cargill to you? Is it in like other operating income, or where can we see that?
So the first question regarding the improving margin in the grain trading. Honestly speaking, it's very difficult to answer because this is pretty much incremental changes, and the margins on the grain trading stays pretty much low, I would say, and it's just a matter of a couple of dollars difference between quarters. I don't think I have a straightforward explanation on that. And what we're focusing at the moment on the grain and infrastructure division is definitely, as you can see, that the margins are strong on the transshipment operation, and margins are strong on our silos services. So our idea is, and our focus is, try to increase the volume, and that's what we're doing to increase our silos capacity in our terminal operation, to increase the volumes and try to maintain the high profitability on the both direction, and as well as much as we can make on the grain trading along the side, that would definitely help. But at the moment, the margins on the grain trading are pretty much low. In terms of the Anastasia, maybe in terms of your second question, Anastasia, maybe you can better explain where.
Yeah, the amount we received from Glencore is included in grain segment in other operating income.
Okay, how much is it? Can you tell for the first half?
It should be. I shall report on as I speak. It should be in the range of 6 million for that, well, for the whole year.
It's only for the whole year. Okay, that's fine. So about 3 million you should have. Yeah,
it's about 3 million, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Just a few more questions I had. One, you mentioned, one on the transshipment. I see there is a slight decrease in the margin for the second quarter. Again, this might be, maybe this is not important, so just clarify that, please. Is there some sort of a shift or just a one-off that it went down by about $1? I think that's it.
Anastasia, can you help me with why we just a little bit? Maybe it's just slightly less volume and the fixed cost just a bit higher than usual. But
yeah, absolutely. This is the reason. Yeah, nothing special.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
Our following question comes from Natalia Shpigotska, Dragon Capital. Madam, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a short question on the average trading operations, which appeared on the company's financial statement. And it looks like company's share in this company declined from 100% as of end of September last year to 60% currently. So basically, question is, what are these operations and why the share has declined? Thank you very much.
Anastasia, would you comment on that?
I didn't quite
get the question, honestly speaking.
The question is that we have minority shareholders in Avere business.
But that's what we already discussed recently. We set up the Avere platform, which we plan will help our future sales process and merchandise our products on an international basis. And we have the minority shareholders in this who actually will manage this operation on a daily basis.
So we decided to give them the shares as a pretty much the management who is going to be involved on a daily basis. The whole idea of Avera, I will just state it again, as company is planned to grow more in volumes as we're building the terminal, and we want to add another 4 million grain export out of Ukraine. We're building the crushing plant. We're going to increase the volume of the oil and meal. So generally speaking, the whole group will move out of Ukraine more than 10 million tons of the soft commodity products. And we definitely believe that to be on an FOB basis as a major sales, as we used to be before, would be more complicated and difficult. So the whole idea of our very setup is to help us to sell on a destination basis, China and Asia and South Asia as well. So to have this smooth logistic and try to get some additional value on to sell on the destination. That's the whole purpose of the Avera setup.
I see. Thank you very much. And if I please, one more follow-up question. When you're talking about internal target for net debt to EBITDA of 2.5, is it the internal target for 2018 financial year?
Yeah, that's this. I don't think we're going to cross the 2.5. That's internal target for us, but end of the financial year.
I see. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Alexei Krivoshapko, Prosperity. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, Andrei, Anastasia, good evening. Just have two things to ask. Firstly, can you give us an update on your CapEx plans for this year and break it down by projects?
Yes, of course. Anastasia, can you comment on that? Because I bet you have a spreadsheet in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Question is on CapEx for this year and breakdown by projects.
We will spend in the range of 20 million for the terminal, in the range of 30 million for inland soils, and probably up to 10 million for maintenance CapEx. That's pretty much the plan till end of the financial year.
Plus our usual maintenance CapEx around 45, 50 million. Excluding the M&A we've done this year of the land bank.
Yeah, but 40 million is the amount for the whole year, so we've spent majority of this already. So it's like mm-hmm. 10 million.
So Anastasia, so basically what you said is for the second half, yeah? 20, 30,
yeah,
and 10.
The second half, yeah.
I understand. And the question on crushing, do you see any signs of market normalization in a way that like smaller players are shutting down, or is it still kind of the same in terms of the behavior and the rush for seed and things like that?
Obviously, as I'm already mentioned, on the second half of the financial year, we see definitely that the smallest players are less active as they used to be at the first half. And and we believe it's a good sign. And we also think that we have a good chance that the margin should improve for the next financial year. We hope that the farmers will increase acreages and the production should be better than this year normally. So if all these factors will come together, and plus we believe that the prices on the sunseeds and sunflower seeds oil should improve following the whole bull market which we are seeing at the moment. So all these factors, we believe that the margin should improve on a better level than we have this year. Obviously, it's not going to be anything dramatic, but it will take some time. But I hope we're gonna manage better level.
I see. And can you give us an update on terms of your spending plans on the CapEx side for 2019? Kind of given that, I guess, you know by now how much the port will cost you more or less precisely.
So the I'm not gonna just break it down, but the total investment of the port will be around 120, and I think for the next financial year we should pretty much deploy all investments into the port. I think it's another $40-50 million we're gonna spend to the on the domestic silos. And I'm not sure how much we're going to spend for the crushing plant for the next financial year, but I bet maybe $60-50 million for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And kind of the yield factors which kind of negatively impacted the stability of the farming site this year, how do you plan to kind of address it? I mean, in terms of your expectations for next year, are you changing your crop mix? Are you changing technology? I mean, given the fact that EBITDA is basically 50% down more or less versus last year, I mean, what are your planned actions?
We don't change technology a lot. So I think the way we're operating last year was pretty much right technology what we were doing. We're slightly changing the our crop rotation. We decrease a little bit of soybean, increasing sun seeds and the corn. And I think the whole performance of the farming for the next financial year yields will definitely depend on the weather conditions, and we have pretty much no doubt that the technology what we use are right, and seeds and fertilizer and everything, and I think the execution of technology, I think it's also on a good level. We might still not getting the same level on 100% with the new acquired land. We might be slightly less, but it's not going to be dramatic because the land which we both are in a good locations, and I think we have a good chance to get the standards close to ours pretty fast. So I think the major input or a factor will be the weather for the next year.
Mm-hmm. I see. And in terms of kind of your economics of the newly constructed crushing plant, kind of this $120 million capex, and given where things are margin-wise right now, I mean, how does it look like in terms of payback period if you factor everything, including the working capital, into account? Is it worthwhile maybe postponing it?
First of all, we believe that in that region we will be able definitely generate a better margin. Even if today, if you take our margin for second quarter for $65, and you can see how the margins are shifted because it's the average margin on a second quarter $65. But we can see the crushing plants, which is located in a better area, is generating higher margins when compared to the crushing plants, which is located into the east close to the south, so they're generating low margins. So we strongly believe that our crushing plant, new crushing plant in the west of Ukraine, will perform at a better level margin, and we look at the payback period around 5 years.
I see. Thank you. That's clear.
Our next question comes from Dmytro Konovalov, HSBC. Sir, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation. Could you please elaborate on the recent changes to the VAT, the cancellation of VAT, and specifically on what impact it has on your competition and on the exporters of the rapeseed and soya? What impact it has also or will have it on your crushing margins? Thank you.
Look, the recent changes on the soybean and rapeseeds, which the parliament approved for the VAT, first of all, it's more about soybean rather than rapeseeds, because the rapeseeds, if I'm not mistaken, only come in force in 2020, I guess. So the soybeans, it's not... it will not directly impact us because we're not really crushing soybean much, but we believe that maybe some other crushing plants, which is doing the soybeans, will take more soybean and less sun seeds, and more sun seeds will be available for the crushing. And I think, generally speaking, should be positive impact for the kernel, but not dramatic.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Izzy Fiedler, Terra Partners. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for this presentation. I have a few questions. Based on own calculations and using the data you provided within the presentation, the average selling price of bulk sunflower oil declined from roughly $950 per ton in the first half of the last fiscal year to approximately 920, I'd say, in the first half of this fiscal year. Although it's not that important or the decline is negligible, I'd say, demand for this vegetable oil, sunflower oil, has risen the most out of the edible oils, and exports from Ukraine seem to have declined. So what's behind that, also a modest, but behind that drop? I understand that it's a global rather question because the soft commodity prices are determined by the global supply and demand. So have the farmers around the globe raised this crop within their acreages and actually engulfed the market with increased supply, which would be, you know, the first what would come to my mind, because it's given by the demand and the supply, so and worldwide. So what caused this slight decline in the bulk sunflower oil selling price?
I think you pretty much answered your question. The demand is for the sunflower seed oil is pretty much steady, but In terms of the pricing, sunflower seed oil is following the oil complex, following the palm oil and soybean oil, and that's pretty much it. So as the oil complex is going down, the sun oil is going cheaper, and we're selling it cheaper, or vice versa.
I see. Okay, yeah, because it doesn't make sense too much because of those factors or arguments. I said that the price should be stable at least, but yeah, it does make sense because it's a substitute, let's say, for the sunflower oil, the palm oil. All right. Then, with respect to the acquisition of Ukrainian agrarian investments, have you already finished the relevant calculations and market valuation of the business acquired? And if so, what is the result? Because you talked about, in conjunction with the last fiscal year results, you talked about finishing this process, the whole process, by the end of this fiscal year. So just question if you have already proceeded with that far to be able to provide us with some detailed or closer information on this.
The deal of Ukrainian agrarian investments, we've done, completed and closed and everything finalized. We paid and we already even started to divest some of the land of this operation, which is not optimal for us. So it's a done deal.
Yeah. All right. But I don't know, because I didn't have a chance to read the whole presentation released today. But the fair value of the asset. I'm not talking about the, you know, the price you negotiated and you paid actually last year, but about the process of finding out what is the fair value of the assets acquired, because there was no books, I mean accounting, bookkeeping for this company, if I remember that correctly. So I was told in the fiscal year's conference, the last fiscal year's results conference call, that it will be finished, this revaluation, in the 2018 fiscal year. So
I'm not sure I quite understand. Maybe Anastasia, you comment me regarding the financial the books, but go ahead, Anastasia.
I can comment on this. That's correct, as you rightly mentioned. We booked this acquisition in the financial statement for financial year 2017. We do have 12 months to adjust the fair value of the acquired assets if needed. For the time being, we don't see any reason to revise our valuation made at that time. We booked something in the range of $1 or $2 million of profit from this acquisition. So the disclosure we have in our annual report is valid. We don't expect any significant deviation from that valuation made by independent appraisal. Again, we have 12 months. If anything unexpected, definitely we will make a special disclosure on this in our common financial statements. But for the time being, it's still the same.
All right, but correct me if I'm wrong, but you booked a $1 or $2 million bargain gain, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the profit. All right. Mm-hmm. Bargain gain. Not $2 million. All right. Thank you. And with respect, also, it's I wouldn't like to dwell on this, but it's a very frequent topic within our conference calls. But the sunflower seed crushing margins, your expectations were about in the last fiscal year. Last fiscal year's conference call in summer last year. You talked about your expectations at about $100 per ton in a few following years or in a few following seasons. Although I'm aware that the market forces need adjusting the demand and the supply for this kind of commodity. Although I'm aware that it takes relatively long time to adjust supply and demand, and the supply especially. Would you change anything on this expectation? About the margin near or at around $100 per ton. Again, I would like to stress that just 6 or 9 months are not probably too many to change your view for the upcoming seasons or in a few years, but just, in regard to, I don't know, perhaps some new projects with respect to crushing capacities in Ukraine occurred, or who knows, so please.
So regarding the crushing margins, obviously it's a very difficult question and very almost impossible to project. And I think, as I've already mentioned before, we expect the margins slightly improve towards the next financial years. But also, this would be possible if Ukraine, we expect these farmers will increase the acreages and everything is okay with the weather and yields, and Ukraine will produce again 15 plus million tons of the sun seeds. I think we definitely have a good chance to improve our crushing margins compared to the current level. But once again, it all depends on assumptions. We don't see any crushing plans except ours, which will not be there next year anyway. So under construction or under any project. So the crushing capacity stays steady, and if we will see the improvement on yields and acreages, we will definitely should have a better crushing margin.
All right. If the palm oil margin will not down for the probably, or you know, I'm getting back to the conversation we had just a few minutes ago. Okay. So you would not change anything about this. So let's say in 5 years you do expect, or you still expect, 2 times higher margins per ton. I mean, $100 per ton as compared to $50 nowadays.
We believe that we have a good chance of consolidation and improving the acreages, and the margin should improve. It's very difficult to say at how much exactly, but definitely better than this level.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, but the demand is growing for sunflower oil, so it could induce the local farmers to raise the acreage. All right, and that's actually all. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no other question. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being today with us. Thank you for your questions. As always, we're always available for your additional questions. Please contact our investor relations. You guys send emails. We will provide you all information. Thank you very much. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.